I want to thank God for this team here tonight. They're such a great team of worship leaders. I also want to thank the Lord for Susie Andrews, Debbie Crom. Susie made this incredible display of lemons. How many of you take lemons and make lemonade out of it? That's what she's done right here, a visual presentation of how God makes something beautiful out of lemons. And that's what He's doing in all of our lives if we give Him our problems. I thank God for Debbie Crom. She got on the communications gift that she has, and she put the word out to so many. Thank you, Debbie. I thank God for Don Alsop and his team and Bo Parker and his team. Don, you've worked so hard for this service with all the visuals that we've had. It's just amazing. And I want to thank all of our friends at 8:30. A lot of 8:30 folks here tonight, just because this is important to our hearts. We are so touched, Tanya and I, that you would come and celebrate with us. Amen. We're so grateful. Thank you so much. It's good to have a couple that's here for Saturday night for the first time. A young couple, Daniel and Laura Connerly. Are y'all here tonight? I know they were coming. They're on the back row back there with kids trying to keep them quiet. Y'all pray for them. They won't bother us. We won't even notice. Before I preach the word, I want to also give recognition, because we are a family here on Saturday night and in Christ Church. And there's one gentleman who hasn't been here in over a year because he's been dealing with different health issues. And it is so good to see our brother Mickey Rutz. Brother Mickey, would you just, can you stand, Brother Mickey, at all? I want y'all to give this man, he has overcome challenge after challenge after challenge. There's another dear sister here. Most of you know Teresa Johnson. What a gift she's been to this congregation for years. Teresa has dealt with kidney failure for a long time. And in her agony, she continues to lift up hallelujahs. She's sitting in a wheelchair at the very back of this room. And I want you, hold on just a second. Miss Teresa, I know you may be weak, but can you just say hallelujah for us? Oh me, I don't want this to end. I've been so excited about it. I know how many of you are already getting feeling like you want it to end. You can always count on God's people to be honest, can't you? 1 Thessalonians 5:12, just three verses tonight. The first from 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem or honor them very highly in love for their work's sake. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you always. And the last verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. How many of you thank God for the people that have been a part of your education, your learning, the seeds that they've sown into your life, the truth, the wisdom, the love they've sown into you? I don't know about you, but I don't take credit for anything in my life. I'm the product of so many people investing in me. And we need to be thankful for that investment that others have made in us. And it should be our passion and our life goal to give to God back everything that He's put in us. Because it doesn't just belong to us, it belongs to everybody. We've got an audience, whether it's one person at a time or a whole congregation. We all have an audience to plant that word that He's planted in us that has the power to save us. We have a spiritual obligation and hopefully a delight to be able to put that in somebody else's life. Doc has taught Tanya and I so many lessons, some of which have been more caught than taught. And I can't remember everything enough to write it down. But I have spent a lot of time writing down the things that Doc has shared with us. These things stand out in my soul. The first thing is invest in good memories. Some memories just happen to all of us through experience and circumstances that we really can't help. Some things just come to us, good and bad, that we really don't have any control over. But we do have the opportunity, all of us, to build some memories of our own by celebrating life's events, birthdays and anniversaries. I've told you how I feel about the comment that my birthday, some people say, this is just another day. I want to slap them. Because I think this is not just another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the anniversary of the day that you were born. And all of heaven rejoices, I believe, not over just one sinner who comes home to the Lord, but I believe that all of heaven rejoices over the heart of every human being that's born. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Red, yellow, black, and white, we are precious in God's sight. And that's what God says about us. So how could we dare just walk into the presence of God and act like it's just a normal event? There's nothing normal about any of you. Everybody thinks... I'll let you laugh. Everybody thinks everybody looks normal until you get to know them. Amen? Birthdays and anniversaries, graduations and reunions, meals with friends. When I ate a meal with many of you, so much more than just putting food in my mouth. It's a sacrament. It's a sacrament of fellowship because God is in our presence when we gather in His name. We celebrate. When we learn to live and love the present moments of our lives. Some of us have been in such a hurry to get through life, we haven't lived it. Such occasions can make us memories rich. Sometimes these rich, good memories have a way of helping us crowd out some old oppressive moments and memories in our lives. You say, what are you talking about? An 80-year-old man texted me the other day, and he says, I still struggle with regrets over things I can't forget that I did. Memories rich. We're memories rich with the Abiades, who've taught us the importance of creating good memories. I want to just scroll through a few pictures from the past of the Abiades in our lives. Doc and our three boys sitting in the white leather chair. Doesn't he look smart? That was one of those days we had no idea what to do with our three boys, so we called Doc. We said, Doc, we don't know what to do with these boys. Come over here and help us. The next picture is Doc in the jacuzzi at the hotel with them. Doc babysits so Mrs. Carter, Sister Tanya, and I could see each other. That was about right. I love Doc's sweatshirt that says, if you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys. Doc would go to the gym with them and play ball with our boys, encouraging them and joking with them. An excerpt from a letter that he wrote to them says, I heard that each of you is desperate and somewhat delusional. The rumor is that all of you are going to basketball camp with the crazy idea that one day you'll be able to beat me in basketball. You might as well check into Heartbreak Hotel and save your money. Even though you can't beat me ever, I still love you, Doc. And then he says, I'm humble too. Tanya and Mrs. Abiade together at Cage Cove in the Smoky Mountains. I tell you, you can't help but have your heart lifted when you go to Cage Cove. Amen? And lastly, the four of us dressing like wild Western folks. Now, folks, that's as wild as I get right there. I've got a question for you. Invest in good memories. Memories have to be made. Are you investing? Are you creating good memories? Or are you just letting life just go on by? Second, stay focused. I don't know how many times Doc has sensed that I have trouble with focus. Have y'all noticed that? On the ADD scale, I'm off the charts. I guarantee it. What did I just say? Stay focused. On what? On Jesus. Amen. And doing what is right. Amen. Folks, we live in a world of mass distraction. Yeah. And it's not just in the world, it's everywhere you go. It can even be in a church. Yeah. In fact, God's not the only one who shows up in church. How many of you know the devil likes to come to church too? To keep people's ears plugged up from hearing the living, loving Word of God that has the power to set you free. Because the Bible says it's the truth that sets you free. We live in a world of mass deception where people find it easier to believe a lie than to hear the truth. We live in a life, in a world of mass discouragement. My heart goes out in the Spirit of Jesus. I'm so moved by Jesus and His compassion. The Bible says that He looked at those who were harassed and helpless, and His heart was moved with compassion because they were like people who had no shepherd. Jesus' heart was moved. I think our hearts need to be moved by folks that are constantly discouraged. And we need to tell them about a Savior who can lift their heart and their thoughts. Doc kept saying, stay focused, Brother Chris. In one letter, he says, Pastor Carter, conflict and problems have a way of causing us to look away from Jesus. And we can make decisions with Jesus as just an afterthought. Stay focused, my brother. And one of Doc's favorite expressions when he's preaching, when he's counseling with you, which he's done several hundred sessions with Sister Carter and I want to give y'all freedom to go to counseling. I'm going to be practically whole when I get to heaven. Amen? Doc always says when he senses that our minds are fading and our faces look like they're blank, he says, stay with me now. Stay with me now. So I'm telling you, stay with me now. Don't hang up on me. Stay focused. In another letter, he says, stay close to Jesus and you cannot go wrong. You say, stay focused on what? Stay focused on Jesus and stay focused on what is right. Folks, we live in a world today where people try to tell us there's not a right and a wrong. There will always be a right and a wrong. Always. Doc says, make your decisions based on the Bible and what God says is right, not on what the culture says. And I love this quote, and I'll have it for you. In order for right to be truly right, it must be eternally right. If it's right for the moment, if it's right for the season, or just for a particular situation, it's not really right. It's a fad. In order for something to be right, it must be biblical. What is right is always God's love for you. God made the right decision when He sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins so that we may know with clarity our salvation and be right with God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when we're right with the Lord, we can be right with each other. We can't be right with God and be wrong with everybody else. Right? So I ask you on this second one, what are you focused on tonight? In this world of mass distraction and mass discouragement and mass deception, have you followed the words of the writer of Hebrews where he says, look to Jesus. Yeah. Fix your eyes on Him, the author and finisher of your life and the author of your healing. That's right. Third, be thankful. Everybody say, be thankful. Be thankful for God's gifts. I think of Doc when I think of the words of another dear friend that Dr. Dunham and I know well and Dr. Abiade knows, and that's Dr. Ellsworth Callis, who's in heaven now. He used to say this, buy a house on Gratitude Street. The longer you live here, the more you'll love it. You'll quickly learn that you wouldn't have anything if it weren't for what has been given to you. The important thing is to realize this, but also to acknowledge it and to say thank you as often as you can to God and to people. God, give us a spirit of thanksgiving. In a culture of complaint and criticism, I don't know about you, but when I'm critical, I don't feel good. But there's a power in thanksgiving to say thank you, Lord, or to look another person in the face and really understand that that moment is from God and say, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister, for walking with me, for giving to me, for loving me, for being in my life. Doc has lived on Gratitude Street for many years. He sees life as a gift and teaches and models thankfulness in every encounter. I know his favorite word next to Jesus, and it's the word gift. Gift. Four examples. He writes, the greatest gift any mother or father can give to their family is their love for Jesus. He wrote to Tanya, dear Mrs. Carter, I want to remind you that you are a gift to all those who have stumbled and desire to stand up again for Jesus. He writes, it was a gift to have the opportunity to speak with you on the telephone last Friday. How many of you have a few family members that you're not always excited to pick up the phone and talk to? What if they didn't call? My little mama, who's gone through double bypass heart surgery this year and overcome a lung problem, she snores a little bit in her older age. My dad got so frustrated one night. He was laying there in the bed, and he said, I couldn't go to sleep. Your mama was just snoring like a little pig. Mom, I love you. I'll forgive me. This is a great story, though. My dad said in the middle of his complaint, the Lord whispered, said, what would it be like if she was gone? And you couldn't hear her snore anymore. I'm going to tell you, folks, we got some major attitude adjustment issues and perspective issues in our lives. God wants to make us holy. He doesn't want us just to get to heaven. He wants to put some heaven in us that makes us live different, that makes us think different, that makes us celebrate different, that makes us see all of life as a sacred gift. Some people, I can see it now, when they get to the gates of heaven, they're going to complain that the gate's not the right color. Or that they're too far back in line. I'm not going to be like that. I'm just going to say, thank you, God, that I finally made it. Amen. And to our boys, he wrote, just remember my words, boys. You are a gift from God. Well, Doc and Nancy love to give good gifts, too. And this is my favorite story. It seems that thankfulness and generosity must live on the same street. The Abbeyades took us on a cruise about 12 years ago when we were absolutely broke. We were not only broke, but we were broken. We'd had a dream dashed and our hearts slashed. And they paid our way and loved us like only Jesus can. On that trip, I want to tell you what it was like. I had no salary, no savings, and no job, and I was cruising in the Caribbean with the Abbeyades. Hallelujah! You don't have to have anything. If you got a friend, you can just go with them. Amen? Amen? Best trip of our lives. And I'm going to tell you, The times when you realize God's faithfulness most is when you are absolutely bankrupt of any resources that you could possibly muster up. And I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking about emotional. I'm talking about spiritual. When you think that it's the time is the darkest, when you've stood in hope and faith and it seems like the heavens are brass and God hasn't heard you, but you're still standing and God sends you some of His people to encourage you, you can stand in thankfulness. I'm telling you. I wouldn't trade a single one of those bankrupt times in my life. Because that's how God, it takes a need before you can receive a miracle. So I got to ask you a question. I've only got two more of these to do. Somebody say, thank God. Are you thankful? What if I was to ask about the people that know you the most? Would they say that you're thankful? Most churches think they're friendly until somebody visits and tells them they're not. Most people think they're thankful until people are really honest. You know, you've got a real complaining problem. You gripe about everything. You want everything your way. I'm going to preach it now. I'm going to move on to number four. Are you thankful? Have you bought a house on Gratitude Street yet? Number four, love God, yourself, and others. Serving as a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church for many years, Doc was so aware of burnout among clergy. And when he met me, he could smell smoke. So he's been working with us, Tanya and me both, on self-care. He's still working on us with this. But you know what? I realize that that's not just among clergy. It's on a lot of God's sheep where we just don't know how to take care of ourselves. We think responsible Christians are to go until they drop and get up and continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. And we don't know what it's like sometimes to be refreshed and be revitalized by the Spirit of God because we're too busy doing when God says, I want to show you how to be with me for just a few moments so that I can fill your cup again. Amen. Amen. I had a black preacher friend who used to pray. He said, God, don't just fill my cup, fill my refrigerator. Fill my refrigerator. I got to have more of you, Lord, if I'm going to make it through this. Here's what Doc reminds not only his people that he counsels, but those pastors. He has many pastors that he mentors across the United States. And I've written down some of the things that he's told me over the last 15 years. Doc, I do keep good notes. I wanted you to know that. He says to his pastors, if you burn out or die today, I will have someone to replace you by next week. So please take care of yourself. How humbling is that? How many of you would like it if your wife said that to you? Or if your husband said that to you? He also says burnout is of Satan, not God. He says being over busy is more about self and your needs than it is about God. He says God doesn't give us more than we can bear, but often we take on more than we can bear. And this is my very favorite. God's gifts out of proportion become Satan's tools. God's gifts, even the good things that God has put in your life, if that is not lived in balance, they end up working against you. That's a profound thought, isn't it? He says, do not take on things that are not your calling. Some Christians think everything is our calling. He says, when we're tired, we do not feel valuable. He says, Jesus wasn't always available, and neither should you be. Is Brother Hugh Cruz here? You made it back. I'd recognize that voice from anywhere. It takes courage to say no and to establish healthy boundaries. And lastly, concerning self-care, he says, do not take yourself too seriously. when we thanked Doc and Nancy for moving us to Memphis 10 years ago, he said to me that it was like taking half of a vacation. He said, the boys remind me not to take myself too seriously and to remember to laugh and to play. There's a book written by Bob Goff entitled Everybody Always. How many of you have heard of that book? The subtitle, Becoming Love in a World of Setbacks and Difficult People. Doc has learned to love everybody always. He asks us frequently, and tell me, why do I love you all so much? And my answer is, I don't know why. But I'm going to tell you why. When you become love, when God's Spirit of love lives in you, the heart of love is God. Love is the heart of God, and it's also the heart of those who walk with God. We're on a journey to love everybody always. So I ask you, are you growing in loving everybody always? I said it like that because it's the goal, right? Lastly, never give up. Never give up, but always surrender. June 2012, and I'm almost done, I promise, and then we're going to hear from Doc for just a few minutes. How many of you need to go to the bathroom? We need to have intermission? I already lost one brother. That was my clue. He was going like this. June 12, 2012, Doc writes to me, it is interesting how in moments of feeling overwhelmed, misunderstood, or hurt, how we dismiss our strength in the Lord. You may say, Pastor, I do not see or feel that strength of which you speak. This is a very understandable response, for in the midst of moments of feeling overwhelmed, we tend to allow negative words to whisper in our minds that override our hearts and tell us that we are weak or bad. If you would give me permission, Pastor, I would like to take issue with the negative words whispered and point out your strength. If you were weak, as was whispered to your mind, you would have given up on your wife, given up on your children, given up on yourself, given up on your any indication of pastoral ministry. If you had given up, you would not be in Memphis right now. Why are you in Memphis? Because you did not give up. And only the strong in Christ can claim such spiritual reality. That makes me want to shout. I'm going to tell you, folks, that's not just my shout. I want to shout for everybody in this room that has heard the whisper of negativity, the voice of the enemy himself who says, you don't have what it takes. The best way we can praise God is to say, greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. God, I have what it takes because you live on the inside of me. I will never, never, never give up, but I will always surrender. Because God has a comeback for every setback. Some of you need to hear that tonight. It's not the best place in your life right now. God has a comeback for every setback. Doc has overcome so many obstacles. Family of origin struggles. Growing up in a rough part of Queens, New York. Overcoming poverty, prejudice, even in the church. Somebody say, oh my. Can y'all believe it? Thank you, Doc, for never giving up. Thank you for your investment in me and my family and in the Church of Jesus Christ. Your love, your encouragement, your teaching, your example have helped us stay in the fight and experience our destiny. Are you tempted to give up? Don't. Never give up, but surrender to Christ.